Welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, it is definitely going to be a scaly friend of ours, because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful Gila monster. This, of course, is a very special listener episode dedicated to Lee, Alana, May, Allison, Emmanuel, and Hunter. Thank you so much for writing into the show, and I hope you enjoy your very own episode. If you aren't subscribed to the Relax with Animal Facts YouTube channel, I encourage you to go over there. I work on episodes periodically and have been working on this one for quite a while. Hopefully, I can release it soon. And if you want more Relax with Animal Facts, including exclusive episodes and the ability to vote on new episodes, you can go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts. The show, of course, has overhead costs, and so your support means the world, and it just helps support the show's mission of helping more people get to love animals more. A huge shout out to George Vlad for the ambiance in today's episode. His work is linked in the description, and I encourage you to check him out. And now, let us begin to wind down a little bit. If this is your first time listening, I welcome you to the Animal Podcast family with open arms. And if you are returning, you know exactly what I am going to be asking of you. I have three primary exhortations for you. The first is that you put on some hiking shoes. You are certainly going to be needing those for where we are going today. My second encouragement to you is arguably the most important. It is that you realize, perhaps, where you are carrying some tension, and to do your best to let that tension go. Here on the Relax with Animal Facts podcast, in addition to being the Animal Podcast family, we are the Jello Squad. I have nicknamed ourselves that because we try to become Jello. We are visual creatures, and so having that picture of Jello in your mind, whatever flavor or color that you'd like, really helps us to relax like that thing. So do your best Oscar award-winning impression of that Jello. It might be the case that you don't know how to become Jello. Maybe you don't know really where you carry tension. If that is the case, it is helpful to do one exercise. In your mind, start scanning from the bottom of your feet all the way to the top of your head, relaxing as you go. So you would try to let go of the tension in the feet, then the ankles, the calves, the hamstrings, and the quadriceps, and up and up. I really like this exercise because it serves a dual purpose, as I often say. One, to help us identify where we carry tension in the first place, and two, it helps us become Jello. My third exhortation to you is that you give your mind permission to wander and journey with me into the rocky terrain of northwestern Mexico, where the Gila monster resides. What a wonderful place we are visiting today. I find it common that people, when they imagine something beautiful in terms of the environment, the rainforest, the mountains, perhaps the ocean, are some of the places that come to mind immediately. I'm not sure how many people are getting desert or rocky terrain when someone asks them that question. But if I asked that question to a cactus, I know what the answer would be. Everything has its place and its purpose. If you were to take a cactus out of this very dry and hot environment and put them into some sort of rainforest where it is constantly pouring down, they would be remarkably out of place. While that is all well and true, and context is important, we are not here to talk about cacti, which I believe is the plural. We are here to talk about the Gila monster. I bet many of you out there are happy I'm not saying the Gila monster or the Gila monster. I am pronouncing it correctly. I have watched many YouTube videos to make sure of it. This animal is a small, visually appealing lizard with black scales and a variety of orange stripes and patches. They happen to be a member of one of the world's only venomous lizard families. They also happen to be the only venomous lizard native to the United States. But before we forget, let's cover their scientific name. Gila monster is their common name, but the name given to them by scientists is Geloderma suspectum. As always, there are Latin and Greek roots to be found here. The former portion of their scientific name, Geloderma, comes from a combination of two Greek words, helo and derma. Halos in Greek means nail or stud. It can also be related to helix, which means spiral or coil. Derma, of course, is a Greek word referring to skin. That is why many skin conditions have a derma in there somewhere. Dermatitis, for example. So, Geloderma means stud or nail skin, referring to the beaded texture of the skin of the Gila monster. The latter portion of their name, suspectum, is a Latin word meaning suspected or mistrusted. It comes from a Latin verb that means to look up at or to suspect. Altogether, their scientific name translates to something like suspected studded skin, referring to the appearance and perhaps the once mysterious nature of the Gila monster. And with a name like Gila monster, it sounds almost mythological, like the Loch Ness monster. But of course, these animals are real. They are reptiles, they are carnivorous, and they can live an incredibly impressive amount of time, up to 40 years in captivity. When you get a bunch of Gila monsters together, they are called a lounge. So instead of saying a herd of something, a group of something, it is a lounge of Gila monsters. And I can suspect why. These animals have a notoriously mellow temper. While they can be fierce and deadly attackers, they are rather chill. The University of Arizona's Poison and Drug Information Center describes them as, quote, shy and retiring reptiles not prone to attacking humans unless they are significantly agitated. They avoid people whenever they can and will also avoid many other large animals. In terms of their size, they will be about 20 inches in length. I know sometimes these inches and centimeters can be a little hard to picture. It's like 3 iPhones on top of each other. And in terms of weight, they will weigh just 4 pounds. I find most fascinating just looking at this animal, their pebbly appearance. They have this because of their covering of armor. Their osteoderms or microscopic bone chips are buried in the skin, offering them a unique kind of protection from predators like coyotes and hawks. It gives them this very mesmerizing pattern, one that I could look at all day. It is worth mentioning that there probably aren't as many facts about this creature as we could know. That is because they spend more than 90% of their life underground, making them really difficult to research. Some more recent radio tracking research has found that these animals occasionally wander more than a mile at a time in pursuit of food or potential partners. So most of what we know is when they come out from underneath the ground. What makes them also interesting is that they are sometimes classified as being completely nocturnal. Despite this fact, sightings above ground during the day are very common. I actually recently watched one video from a YouTube channel called Brave Wilderness. It's with a gentleman called Coyote Peterson, which is a great name, by the way. And in it, he is actually bitten by a Gila monster during the day. Doesn't look like much fun. And a quick shout out to that YouTube channel. It's so educational, informative, and if you like watching a guy get bitten by stuff you couldn't get paid $10 million to get bitten by, that's the YouTube channel for you. Pressing on, while we are here in northwestern Mexico, we could have been in a few places. Gila monsters, like many other species of animals, are quite delicate and require a specialized microclimate. They favor semi-arid climates, but they do not live in just any desert-like environment. They can be found throughout the southwestern United States and northwestern Mexico, mainly in Arizona and Sonora, which is their core geographical range. They are native to the American Southwest and northwestern Mexico, which makes them, as we learned before, one of the only, in fact, the only venomous lizard native to the United States. We learned just previously that they spend much of their time underground. They can do this because they have long claws equipped to excavate burrows. They will, however, like many other creatures that burrow, make use of existing burrows. You don't have to work, there is one that is already mined out for you, so why not? There is research that indicates some lizards will use the same tunnels year after year, and during mating season, many Gila monsters may share a burrow at once. It may also be the case that a lack of suitable burrows can limit the number of Gila monsters present in a specific area. We learned that they are carnivorous animals. This means they eat meat and generally animal material. They enjoy eating bird, tortoise, and snake eggs. One popular bird egg that they like are quail. They only eat quail eggs, but not baby quail. That is because baby quail are too fast for the Gila monster. They generally prefer the things that don't move very much or are very slow. They have, however, been seen to catch and eat baby bunnies and ground squirrels. These lizards are also pretty metal. They will climb large cactus in pursuit of bird nests and the good food they contain. When I use the adjective metal, I don't mean they are made of a particular metal. Apparently, as I've learned, this is an adjective used to describe something that's hardcore or rugged. And so I'd say climbing cactuses fits into that category. One thing that you may notice right away are their fat tails. One would expect a little thin tail from comparing it to other lizards, but these tails play an extraordinarily important role. It may well be the case in this environment that food sources are not as abundant for some reason, and so they have a great bit of fat storage they can rely on in their tails. And let's get to the good stuff, their venom. Gila monsters are venomous, again making them the only lizard in the United States that is both venomous and native to that area. Unlike most snakes and spiders, which inject their venom through long fangs that work like needles, Gila monster venom is drawn up from glands in the lower jaw via these microscopic grooves on each tooth. This means that for the Gila monster to fully inject their venom into their victims, they have to clamp down and chew. But remember that we learned their diet encompasses eggs of birds, turtles, and snakes. These things can't really fight back. So the question is, why do they have venom at all? And the more obvious reason, if it isn't to sort of incapacitate prey, it must be used for defense, and it is quite the defense. Pretty much immediately after being bitten by this creature, whatever was bitten will swell, an acute burning pain will seize the area immediately, and can lead to vomiting, dizziness, weakness, high heart rate, and/or low blood pressure. In the video I referred to where Coyote Pearson is bitten by the Gila monster on accident, he keels over in pain just moments after being bitten. I thought what was funny about that video is that the cameraman asks him, "Are you sure you were bitten?" while the guy is hunched over, grasping his thumb like it's about to fall off, and screaming. See, this is because those behind the camera in any sort of wildlife setting are invincible. Nature knows the rules and respects that. But anyways, it might be helpful for us to review what the difference is between venom and poison. If I said the Gila monster was not venomous, but poisonous, what really would that change? I find it helpful to think about it in this way. If an animal is poisonous, it will only hurt you if you do something to it. For example, if a frog is poisonous and you decide to eat them, you're going to reap some consequences. If an animal is venomous, something bad can happen to you by their action. That is the venomous action. Something bad happens by the action of the venomous animal. In the case of a snake, it would bite you. In the case of the Gila monster, it would also bite you. So poison is a toxin that gets into your body through inhalation, swallowing, or absorption through the skin. For something to be venomous, it must be able to inject toxin into you somehow, whether that be with a cobra through its fangs or a scorpion through its stinger. One really cool thing about the venom from the Gila monster is that it's pretty useful. Over the last 2 decades, scientists have utilized its chemical composition to develop new treatments for diabetes and obesity. If someone is ever bitten by a Gila monster, the instructions are to treat the wound with plenty of water, immobilize the injured limb at heart level, and seek prompt medical attention. Gila monster venom produces a relatively moderate neurotoxin that is not dangerous to humans. It is, however, still important to search for some help to examine the bite for broken teeth or symptoms of infection, etc. So, although they have a powerful venom with pretty sharp teeth, this mostly comes into use when it comes to defense. They can kill and eat frogs and small mammals, but they really only consume up to 1/3 of their body weight in a single meal. They store fat efficiently and have a low metabolic rate, which is part of the reason they're not so aggressive. They don't really need to eat all that much to stay healthy. Those tails, as we learned about before, are also a reason for this. Gila monsters are most active in April and in May, in which they can easily find food if they want. This is also when they mate and lay their eggs, which take 4 months to hatch. From November until March, they will be in a state of hibernation, hidden somewhere in their burrows. And as we learned before, they can live for decades, in captivity sometimes up to 40 years old, and in the wild an average of 20 years. A relatively long lifespan for a lizard. Another amazing thing has to do with their reproduction. The Gila monster, in between the months of April and June, will engage in some WWE-style wrestling, but only the male ones. Male Gila monsters compete in hours-long wrestling matches. It is only after the loser flees that the winner partners with the female. It is in late July that she will find a suitable nest and deposit 4 to 8 eggs before fleeing and never again to return. One of the most mysterious aspects about the Gila monster's life history is its process of reproduction. We still don't know all that much and are in need of some more researchers to find out. It is also the case that juveniles are practically never seen in the wild. These mostly solitary animals have a home range of around 1 square mile or 1.6 square kilometers. Although it doesn't seem as though they are the most territorial of animals, given that they do share burrows from time to time. And now, let's move on to the name of the animal, Gila monster. What does it mean or where does it come from? We have been using this name to describe the creature since 1877. It comes from Gila River, which runs through its habitat in Arizona. The river name is probably from another language, but it is unknown now which one or what the word meant in it. The G is obviously pronounced as an H, as I have been doing, although I hope I never accidentally called it a Gila monster somewhere in this episode. I can't be sure at this point. Now let me tell you a dad joke about the Gila monster. Keep in mind that I couldn't actually find any online. Perhaps this is more of a niche animal. And so I sort of came up with one instead. So before I even say it, I extend to you a most solemn apology. Check this out. Why did the Gila monster become a comedian? Because its jokes were hilarious. I've always just read the dad jokes. I never really wrote them. But reading a joke that I wrote is kind of sickening. It brings up in me this sort of moral quandary, this ethical quandary. Before, at least I didn't write them. Let's hope I never have to do that again, for both our sakes. Now let me move on to the Spotify Q&A. I asked you guys on the ocelot episode, what fact about the ocelot did you find the coolest? Essa Perona kicked it off saying, I'd say a cool fact, but honestly, you put me to sleep so fast, I don't even remember getting past the first 5 minutes. Well, that is good too. It's awesome to be able to host a podcast where having people fall asleep fast is a good thing. Diran Jankahar says, their powerful smelling scents, that is, the ocelots, and walking in night easily. Those are both things that I would agree on. It's hard to imagine being able to navigate night like it was day. That seems like a superpower. Shayris Jane wrote, the fact that they are born with blue eyes, but then it turns to brown. I thought that was cool too, and I thought that the blue eyes look so cool. Why don't they keep them? But that's okay too. On the last Instagram post, I asked you guys, how would you describe Steph Wolf to a friend? A pretty risky post, opening up the possibility of hurt feelings, but most of what was said was positive. Scarlet Rink wrote, I would describe Steph Wolf as my hero. I'm not sure I would have chosen a random Canadian who tucks his t-shirt into his jeans as my hero, but you do you. I'm just kidding, I'm flattered, of course. E.O2 wrote, Steph Wolf is basically the best, and he is probably amazing to have as a friend in real life. Allow me to make a note to never allow any fan to find out who my friends are. Perhaps my friends would disagree, but who knows? Banjo's Shadow says, Steph Wolf seems like the nicest guy in the world. Dry sense of humor, that's certainly true. Loves animals, also true. Works two jobs and goes to school full-time while doing the podcast. Apparently, he also dresses like a dad. I was listening to an old episode and you mentioned that. All of those things are true. The only part I would put on a resume is the dresses like a dad part. On all of my cover letters, I just have a treatise, speaking about how suspenders must be brought back, about how they have more utility than belts could ever have. Try looking like Mario with a belt on. You can't do it, can you? Also, as I told one of you recently, my humor seems to have been greatly influenced by guys like Leslie Nielsen, that kind of deadpan, dry humor. I love subtlety, so The Office, of course, was a huge thing for me too. It's probably why I dislike so much of comedy today. I find a lot of the new stuff has zero subtlety. It's extremely in your face. Granted, there is some that I like, but I definitely prefer a lot of the old stuff. For the last bit of correspondence with you guys, let's move to Apple Podcasts, where Prodigy Math Chef wrote all the way from the United States of America on the review part of Apple Podcasts, and Prodigy wrote, "This podcast helps me sleep, and it's incredibly educational. I love Steph Wolf, and I can't wait to, maybe, get some merch. I love your podcast, and hope you continue on with the podcast." Thank you, Prodigy, for the wonderful review, and I'm so happy the show helps you. In terms of the merch, I'm working on it, and hopefully we'll get some of that out soon. In terms of continuing on with the podcast, if you guys keep listening, I'll keep doing. It's as simple as that. If you are on Instagram, on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, following on those platforms, clicking whatever, I don't know, I have a flip phone, I'm not even joking. So whatever you do on there, clickety, clickety, that is great. It helps the show a lot, and I guess if you enjoy it, it's a nice way to stay in contact with me somehow, and to even have your stuff read on the show that you love. If you would like to request your very own animal and to have your own episode, you can go to relaxwithanimalfacts.com and click on the Submit and Animal Request tabs. If you would like to reach out to me, Steph Wolf, for any other reason, you can do so by sending an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com, or you can send a message to relaxwithanimalfacts on Instagram. I encourage you to subscribe to the YouTube channel, and if you would like to help support the show's mission while getting more of it, you can go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts. It's obligation-free, so you can cancel whenever you want. A huge shout-out to George Vlad for the ambiances in today's episode. His work is linked in the description, and I think that you should check him out. The facts on this episode came from animals.sandiegozoo.org, nationalgeographic.com, and treehugger.com. What an amazing animal we have learned about today. The Gila monster, the only venomous lizard native to the United States. An impressive animal, a beautiful animal on the outside, and quite a unique one. A rather large tail, sharp claws, and venomous for the purpose mostly of defense. Super cool. I hope you have enjoyed this episode as much as I have, and I look forward to the next episode with the next animal. Take care.